Hello and welcome to the Brewman podcast. Today I am joined by Mark Stern, who is Mark Stern powered by EXP. So thank you for being here, Mark. I will let you introduce yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm Mark Stern, powered by EXP, but I'm Mark Stern. I'm an estate agent and I work on my own and absolutely love it. Been an agent since 1979, and I was only a teenager then, sort of went in as a tea boy up in the West End in Robert Irving and Burns. I always remember them so well, and that's where I sort of cut my teeth and started off actually with commercial property there, and have really been in the industry ever since. I've been in and out a few times, tried a few things, lived in America for 9 years, which is where I learned how to give the best service ever in the world. It really taught me. So I was actually in the food business out there, and it taught me so much about delivering service and having that lovely smiley face in front of the customer and just giving them everything. When I came back to grey old Blighty in the late 80s, started to try to, I suppose, impose myself upon our poor customer service. And it's not just about estate agency, it's every single, it's every industry, it's anything that's customer facing.
Why agency? Why did you decide to work in property?
Do you know what it was? It's not always a decision that you make. I mean, I left school at a young age just because I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I know that I wanted to get out of education and start earning some money. So I started at 16. And it was at the time where lots of my friends were either going on to further education or they were becoming estate agents. And I always liked property, always just liked buildings and houses, fascinated with architecture. And I like people. I like talking to people. And so, therefore, the two combined was great. I can actually chat to people. And it's funny, when you first go out there as an estate agent, if you don't know what an estate agent does, you just think, oh, this is an easy job. Just go and show people houses all day. What a lovely job. And it sort of isn't that, but it is that. It's a very strange thing. I know that it's an easy cop-out to say it is and it isn't that. But what you've got is, the joy of the job is actually being in someone's home, showing, telling people how you're going to sell their property, explaining it all to them, and showing their property to prospective buyers, and enjoying and trying to find ways of getting feedback. I mean, you know, 20, 30 years ago, feedback was obvious and easy to get. People would just give you feedback on a viewing. They tell you whether they liked it or whether they didn't, and if they really liked it, they would say, we love it. But now people are just so cagey. And I categorize viewers into two specific categories. You've got people that are looking for every reason why they could buy this property, and people looking for every reason why they shouldn't buy the property. So, you know, we're seeing loads of faults in it and therefore load of rubbish. And if we're going to buy it, we're going to make a very low offer. Or people that will say the same amount of faults in a property and say, yes, but we can fix it by doing this and we can get people in to do that. And it's very interesting to actually stand by and watch that. So it really just comes down to what excites me about an agency is dealing with people. And one of the reasons why I went out on my own was because I didn't have to deal with companies. I could deal with just the people that are selling and the people that are buying, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And I just want to ask quickly before we sort of go down a bit more about what you want to talk about today, but just in terms of those different buyers, is that a sort of negative and positive way of viewing it? Is that down to the individual's mindset? Is that a generational thing? Is it depending on where they are in their life? Sort of, is this first time buyer or future buyer? Does there tend to be any correlation between how they view things or?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. And actually, the generational side of it is quite interesting. I've done a lot of research into this because in my spare time, and I might as well throw in the plug now, I ride a Harley Davidson and I absolutely love my
bike. Oh, wow.
And the funny thing is that when I'm riding down a high street, the only people that turn and look at my bike are old people. Young people don't even hear it. And it's so loud, but they don't even hear it. They don't even look. And that's because what you have is you have an engineering mind, which are people really from about 40 years old and upwards now, engineering brain. And then you have technical brain, which are those under 40. And the technical people, unfortunately, when I feel, and it comes from my experience and what I'm seeing. So when you're dealing with an older generation, and it's not old, 40 is not old at all. I wish I was still 40 in some respects. When you're looking at that sort of generation, they're the ones that will be more inclined to say, yeah, but we can do this and we can do that. And that will cost X and that will cost Y. And if they do go down a negative path, it's only because they're obviously angling on trying to get me to agree with them that the price is too high and it should be at a lower price. But younger people don't have the vision so much, and they don't automatically realize that a wall can be taken down and an extension can be done here or an extension can be done there. And because they have the technical mind, they're more into the fact of, does it have an integrated sound system? And how does, you know, is it a modern central heating system and the underfloor heating? And it's all the technical gadgets that they're more interested in the home, which is actually why I also feel that period houses, unfortunately, are starting to die out a little bit in people's number one wish list, which is my generation. We used to love things like, grade two listed properties. In fact, not even my generation, my parents' generation. So people in their 70s now would be so inclined to think, wow, you know, so proud that they live in a grade two listed property. Whereas in my generation, being in my 50s, we would start to think, well, grade two, instead of saying grade two listed, I call it grade two restricted property. And younger people now just wouldn't even touch a grade two listed property with a barge pole unless it was really, really explained. But occasionally you do get, I'm only generalizing, but occasionally you completely get younger people. I mean, I've got a young couple buying a period house right now for me in Watford, and they are just in love with all the period features. So, so that's sort of my...
I just wondered, because it's there's a lot about sort of this disposable attitude of you know, older generations and generations past. My dad and my mum and dad would have fixed things. They would have paid to get things repaired, whereas I'm guilty of this, and I know many are, is that now we tend not to fix things. We just throw them away and replace them. I just feel that quite often is the way with everything in life nowadays, is actually we just replace it. We just get something new. We were talking about it with regards to love lives and things like that in the office earlier. It can be applied to everything. But
I could easily talk more about that fixing things. There's like a whole experience on things like that as well, about how I see it with properties now. You know, I just
really
say then is that when I bought a house in 1993 and did it all myself completely. I didn't do the rewiring myself, but, you know, knocked down the walls, did the plastering, put in a new kitchen, new bathroom, did it all myself. And to a reasonable standard. I mean, it wasn't like today's standards, but it was a reasonable standard. And when I went to sell the property, I was so proud to tell people I did all this. And the people that were buying it loved the fact that I did it. But now, buyers would run away screaming. No, did you not get it done by professional, bespoke builders? That, you know, everything has to be professionally done now, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It's interesting how things change. And I'm not saying that they've necessarily changed for the worst. Mm. It's just different ways of doing things. But I want to talk about one of the things that you wanted to discuss was about collaboration.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about that.
So this sort of starts off really down the lines of, I've been working for companies for decades, and I thought I knew so much about business and estate agency. And I say it in that way around because I felt that because I know about estate agency, I know about business. And in the last year, because it has actually been a year, October the 1st will be a year that I've gone out completely on my own with EXP.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm celebrating by going on a holiday as well. But the fact is that I realized that I've learned more in the last year about business than I had in probably 30 years of working for companies. And the reason being is that I'm not just speaking to estate agents now. So I do loads of networking. And in my networking groups, you've got people in all different industries. And we're all saying the same thing. It's all about connections, customer service, attitude, positivity. And it's so refreshing not to be in an office of estate agents that are just looking to get one over on every other agent in the high street of their competition. And what I realized soon enough is that I feel very free because I can actually be me, Mark Stern. I'm Mark Stern. I just happen to be an estate agent. It just happens to be the job that I do. But I can now be me to all of my wonderful clients out there. And I say wonderful because in the year that I've been doing this, I haven't had an issue with a client. And it's because I treat everybody the same. And the funny thing is that I sold a house. In fact, I've sold two houses for two really close friends of mine. And when I thought about the service that I gave them, it wasn't that I gave them special service for being my friends. It's that I give everybody the same service as if they are my friends. And I know that's a bit of a plug about me, what I do, but it made me realize that one of the things that I did with my friends is when they were talking about, for example, contracts, what contract length do I have? And I said, well, you're my friends. No, if I can't sell it for you, then find an agent who can. And I meant that in a respectful way, and just give me a couple of weeks notice just so that I can, you know, do my admin and get my head around it all. And then I thought to myself, one minute, that's the same as everybody. Why should I? And I know I will come into answering the question, but it goes in this order of, because this is how my mindset started to work about collaboration. So it started off really with collaborating, first of all, with my vendors, not yep. just treating them as just, I'm the estate agent, you're the seller. But it started to make me realize that who am I to tell people that they have to not move forward with their plans to move home for 3 months or 4 months? What gives me that right to tie somebody in for a contract? If I genuinely can't sell a property, it's probably because the price is too high. And if I can't get them to lower the price, then I don't have the time to waste on trying to sell something that I can't sell. I would rather move on to something that I can sell and let them fly. I ask people if they will reduce. I'll give them the honest truth. You know, you can reduce the price because of this and this and that. But if they won't do it, then that's fine. And what it made me then start to realize is this job can be so much better if we work together for the good of the seller. And I started to collaborate, first of all, with fellow self-employed agents, not all EXP. Some actually were just self-employed agents that work on their own. And we started to communicate with each other on LinkedIn. And, you know, if they've got people that they would come to me saying, if I've got people that will buy one of your properties, what can we do about it? And vice versa. And then they were asking me if I've got people for their properties. And I thought, this is fantastic, because I would much rather have a percentage of something, you know, than nothing, which is, you know, when you're not selling something or not doing anything. And when I think of all the times that, you know, I mean, this even happened yesterday. I was at a party over the weekend and I've just sold a property in Northwood, and it's sold, it's going through, and I've got really close with the buyers and I'm very close with the sellers. And I just happened to be chatting to an estate agent at this party who asked me, and I was just telling them about it. And funny enough, they ended up knowing the buyer. And yesterday my buyer phoned me up and said that this particular agent had actually phoned them to find the door number of the property. And it's like, so everyone's still trying to, agents are being underhand. And I don't really know what they're trying to get at that, because at the end of the day, I'm the person that's got the connection with the seller and the buyer. I'm going to be selling that property in any case, even if this buyer was to, for some reason, pull out. I've still got the instruction. I'm still going to have it till the very bitter end. And I know that because it's the relationship. But what it really made me realize is that if agents worked together and shared their instructions. I don't mean openly shared it, but for example, you know, if I see something that's on the market with somebody that one of my, you know, one of my buyers would be interested in, there'd be nothing wrong with me phoning up that buyer. I mean, that agent, should I say, and just saying to the agent, I've got a buyer for you, so can we do something on the fee? And that agent hopefully would turn around and say, yeah, we can, of course we can, and because I would do that in return. And the person that benefits from this would be their vendor, and it would be my buyer. And it's more like the American model of a state agency. You know, I, as I said, I lived in America for years, and actually some of my friends that I knew became realtors, I can never say the word properly, in the States. And, you know, they're working for buyers and sellers, but they're working with other agents, and they're all working to make the deal done. And the winner out of this becomes the customer.
Yeah.
Long term in this, what happens is estate agents then get a good name. Because, oh my goodness, agents, and I'm sorry to say this, and I was one of these working for these agents, should I say, can be very short-sighted. You know, you're only looking at the deal that you've got today, and you'll fight for that fee, and you will do anything to get that fee, but the outcome could be that you really upset the client, and then that client won't be recommending you. And one thing I have learned about being on my own is you do one or two, you know, good deals, and you really make your clients happy. And before you know it, they're recommending you to 2, 3, 5 people. And that is worth sacrificing maybe a half of the fee that you were originally going to get in the first place by sharing it. So collaboration is really working. I'm working now with agents in Radlett, in central London, in Wimbledon, did a great deal with an agent in Wimbledon, where I took a property on in Wimbledon, knowing fully well I live in Watford. I'm not going to travel to Wimbledon to do a viewing every so often. It's just, you know, an hour and a half each way. But I immediately contacted some agents in Wimbledon and said, who fancies doing a split? And I arranged, you know, arranged an appropriate split for different scenarios. So if they brought a customer to the table, it would be, you know, a decent split, a higher fee for them. If it's one of my customers and they're just doing the viewings, then it would be a lower fee for them. And that's the way it's working. So that's my thoughts.
I think it's an obvious choice to make, and an obvious thing to do. We do it. We have other recruiters that we share information with and collaborate with, and we'll split fees on, because it just makes sense to do it. Why, you know, otherwise you're just trying to take 100% of everything all the time. Just is a bit of a selfish and a bit of a naive, in my opinion, way of approaching business. And I very much agree with your thoughts upon it being the best thing for the customer. It really is. And I think as long as you're transparent with the customer that that's what you're doing, and you're working with other people, and, you know, building this network and these relationships, and that actually you're working with somebody else and you're both going to be getting a slice of that pie, I think it's actually a really good thing to do. And I think it makes sense. Have you had scenarios where customers have sort of recognized that you're different to others, and rewarded you, or, you know, whether that be in a review or a nice bottle or something, sort of accordingly, and now that you're self-employed rather than being a high street agent?
Fantastic question, because yes, and double yes, and triple yes, all of those. So I'll give you some scenarios. So one of the things that pushed me into going self-employed and being on my own was that maybe for the last 8 years, I found people following me. So I don't mean following me on you know, social media. I mean, as an estate agent, it became irrelevant who I work for. So, you know, they would just be coming to me. So I felt that that gave me confidence to go out and actually go out on my own, knowing that I would get the referral, the networks of referrals. So that's the first thing. Second thing is I have amazing reviews. If people want to look me up, they can do Mark Stern. You'll see my reviews are just, they're all 5-star reviews, and some of them have really actually humbled me, because I'm thinking, I didn't even know that I was doing that. And what I mean by that was caring. They all seem to have the theme running through them that they all say that I cared. And that's because I do care. That's because I made decisions in my personal life 5-6 years ago to completely change my life and just really focus on doing the right thing, really doing the right thing, and give myself restrictions and boundaries and things like that. So just things like I intermittent fast. I've been doing it for a few years, so I only eat 2 meals a day, and I became a vegan. I love meat, love it to bits, but became a vegan 3 years ago because I wanted to change things about myself that would show that I can do things and I can stick to them. And and if I went back to eating meat, even just for one moment, it would make me feel that I was not a true man and not true to my word for anything. So it's about, that's the way that I run my life. And it's helped with my relationships, with my wife, with my kids, with friends. And that seems to shine through within my business. And that really does, I don't know, in a way, it makes me feel like, wow, how do people know this? Because I don't go on about it, but it seems to work that way. And then when people rewarding me, so I had the ultimate reward based on, I guess, the way that I'm acting. And that's why I'm going on holiday next week, because I had a customer who said to me, her property, and I have so many of these, they've been on the market for months and months or even years, and I seem to take them on and sell them straight away. And I don't know how, why, I'm not doing anything different. It's just, I don't know, I feel like I'm being rewarded for trying to stay focused and do these things. And she just said to me in May, well, I got her property under offer, and she said, if we complete by the end of May, then there'll be something nice in it for you. And I was thinking just what you said, a nice bottle of champagne or I won't say chocolates because they're not vegan, but you know what I mean. And then as soon as we completed, and she said, and that's it, during the course of it, she said, do you want to know what your bonus will be? And I said, no, just whenever it, look, because I don't like to tempt fate. It's like, let it just happen. So it happens. And then literally she started sending me on WhatsApp through photos of this beautiful apartment somewhere in the sunshine. And I was like, okay, where is this? And then she said, okay, for you and your wife, take my apartment in Tenerife in Costa Adeje for as long as you like. So we're going out there for 2 weeks from next Tuesday. And beautiful apartment, swimming pool. And that was a really nice thing to receive from someone.
Yeah, gosh.
And that's kindness as well. It's kindness from her too, in the sense that, because I would do that. You know, if I've got an apartment somewhere that I don't live in, so it remains empty, I would also offer it to people who've done something good for me too. And I thought that's a really nice thing to do, because it doesn't cost her anything and she's showing her appreciation, and I completely appreciate that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really lovely. I mean, I didn't know that going into that question. That wasn't a loaded question either, because I had no idea about that. So
I've got scenarios and answers. Keep them flying.
In terms of it sounds like you live a very sort of self-disciplined life, and I think that's incredible, and I really admire that, because it's really hard to do. I'm terrible. I start something and drop it in the drop of a hat, and it's something I've had to really work on. Actually, since setting up Broomham, it's something I've really had to work on and improve. But the sort of on that piece, really, what do you feel, and how do you put yourself out there? Because you have a YouTube channel, don't you? And things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got my YouTube channel. I've got about 120 videos on there. For me, the way that I put myself out there is that there's that. There's obviously the Facebook. And I have it's funny, actually, what I found with Facebook is that I use Facebook in two different ways. I use it as my business page, but I also then have my personal page, which I've actually changed. So I don't rant and rave about things going on in the news anymore and things like that. So I'm very disciplined on my Facebook now. It's become, if my personal page is still personal, but it's if somebody sees it, it's appropriate to what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. And I join loads of groups, and I find that's a massive key, is joining. So, for example, I just took a property on in Cock Fosters. So I take properties on all over, as I said, even though I live in Watford. So I took on a house, which I think I'm going to get under offer before the end of this week is out. So I joined a group called We Love Cock Fosters. But it's not just about joining the group and sticking your property on there. I interact with the group as well for maybe a week before I start putting my own properties on, and just start liking loads of stuff. Just like, and interacting. So that's a big platform. I have someone that does my Instagram for me. LinkedIn, okay. I love LinkedIn, but I don't advertise my properties on LinkedIn, although I can, you know, because they're still – all my connections on LinkedIn still live in properties, but most of them are estate agents in any case, so they would probably be selling them themselves. So LinkedIn is more about just me as a person, and I don't understand Twitter, never really have, don't really like it, but for some reason as soon as I create a video on YouTube, that links in, that goes onto Twitter. But I'll tell you something really interesting that I found with the property portals, and this is one that this was is a light bulb moment. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm going to share it with you and your listeners. In the last 6 months, I've noticed that all my videos I do of properties that are linked to all of my properties that are on the property portals, when you're on YouTube, you can analyze your reach. And it will tell you where, you know, so therefore if more people are looking at it through Rightmove or Zoopla or On The Market or Facebook or Twitter, it will all come up there and shows you where your reach is. And the fascinating thing was, I went through a period in July and August where I sold three properties that I sold, the buyers came through Facebook. And the amount of views on the videos were higher from Facebook than they were on the portals by quite a large amount. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, my God, that's free. Facebook, it's free. And, you know, Rightmove are charging however many thousands a month, and Zoopla is obviously less but still works out a lot of money. And you're paying thousands of pounds to advertise a property. And I stick it out on a group, you know, Watford group, Bushy group, wherever group, and I'm getting more views on my videos because actually, if you're viewing a property on a portal and it's got a video on it, more than likely you're going to look at the video. So it actually is very relevant to the amount of people that look at the photos, because if you look at the photos and you like the photos, you're going to easily watch that video. And it's like, I've sold these properties for free. My buyers came for absolutely no money. And one day, Rightmove and Zoopla, this will actually make you think that your competition is not coming from another property portal, but it's coming from just social media, full stop. And there we are.
Well, I think that, it's absolutely fascinating, actually, really interesting. And I think you're probably spot on there, Mark. Mark, thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking about the importance of collaboration and working together. I think if we all make ourselves an island, we're very lonely. And I think you've also touched on the importance of being kind and, you know, serving people well and looking after your customers. And I think you've got some really good tips in there. And the Facebook thing was just icing on the cake. So thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it. Thank you.